Dish from Waitrose is an SE Creative Studio production.
Clarence Court is home to Britain's widest collection of free-range eggs since 1928. Our traditional heritage birds produce a distinctively rich and iconic yolk that takes home cooking from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Loved by chefs and favoured by foodies, each shell is stamped with its own royal crown. It's time for you to discover the wonderful world of fabulous eggs by fabulous birds. Clarence Court.
Just so you know, our podcast might contain the occasional mild swear word or adult theme.
Got a very special guest in the kitchen today.
Oh.
A very serious VIP guest.
Very foodie, I'd say.
Very food motivated.
That's a very good way of putting it.
Yeah, she's got one name, like yes. Madonna. That's how famous she is.
She has been in a few papers recently. Food Monthly.
Oh, has she? Okay.
May have a starring role in The Times soon.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of press coming her way,
I feel like the podcast, the press, you know.
Building her up.
We are building her up. Today on the podcast is Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Hey, Betty.
Betty is Angela's dog. Hello, I'm Nick Grimshaw.
And I'm Angela Hartnett.
Michelin star chef. She makes me say that every time she says her name.
I really don't. Nick and I have invited our dream guest round for a meal. I'm doing the cooking.
And I'm going to be doing the eating and the drinking and the talking.
And I may get a word in edgeways. We'll see.
There's going to be incredible food, amazing drinks, and of course our scintillating company. This is Dish from Waitrose. And this week we are joined by the director of my favourite film, probably ever.
We've invited Paul Feeground. He is the director of Bridesmaids, Ghostbusters, and The American Office. One of your faves, I think, Nick.
I'm ready.
So on today's menu is Paul Feig. He's going to make some amazing martinis. I'm going to follow that with some Guinness braised beef tacos. We've got some pink pickled onions paired with a lovely Chateau Marie. If you want to find any of the dishes from this show, head to waitrose.com/dish recipes. Beef taco. So I'm going to put my beef, I'm going to season that up with the lovely salt corn flour, stick that in the pan. Then I've got my Guinness, I'm going to pour my Guinness over that and my little beef stock and some water. And that is going to braise for a good 2 to 3 hours. Doesn't look like it'd be working, but I think all those flavours are going to be brilliant together. Then while that's working, I'm going to add my garlic, ginger, cumin seeds, put them all together. And I'm going to add all those lovely spices to my beef as well. And then that's in the oven for a good couple of hours. Brilliant. Okay, once that's working, then what I need for the rest of it, I've got my avocado, my pickled red onions. I'm going to add a little twist to this recipe and add some watercress, lovely bit of lamb's leaf there, and some parsley. And I've got my taco, so I've got my pan ready, and I will assemble it all together when Paul and Nick are ready to come.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Nick.
How are you?
Good. So nice to meet you. My goodness.
Welcome.
Oh, my gosh.
How are you? Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for coming to see us, Paul.
Thank you for having me.
We're excited you're here.
Thank you. I brought you some gin.
Oh, never without your gin.
Never without my gin. I'm always selling.
You look incredible.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you. Well, you know, it's my uniform. I'm a suit guy because I don't look good in casual clothes. I can turn the nicest pair of jeans into the worst dad jeans.
Whenever I see you on the telly or when we did the telly together, It makes me reassess my life. It makes me think I should wear suits.
I thought you were going to be a suit man.
I was going to be a suit guy, but then I don't have that many suits, it turns out.
I could be a suit guy
like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Right. But you get a dark suit, then just get a lot of different ties and pocket squares, and then nobody knows.
When I see you making your martinis, maybe I'm obsessed with Paul Feig. I want to dress like you. I want to drink like you.
I love it. I'm thrilled.
Yeah, that way.
So you're going to do your lemon. Paul, you should probably be in charge of this because this is your...
Yes, allow me. I think there's a mixing glass in the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. But if I can have my team here, my support, I need the three...
Ice?
Ice, please, and a vermouth, if you got a little bit of dry vermouth in there.
Yeah.
Vermouth.
And then what I need are three very large twists.
Okay.
So go pole to pole here. We don't like small twists. So you go to the bar and they give you that little curly cue pigtail.
Uh-huh.
Worthless.
Oh, really? You want like a chunky...
You want a chunky one, so then you can squeeze it over the top and release the oil.
Ooh, okay, that's what makes the martini. I'm going to do one, and you tell me if that's good enough, because I feel the pressure. Oh, no, already.
That was
oh,
boy. Oh,
well, I have to go now. I'm sorry.
Bye, Paul.
See ya.
It's sort of like that?
There
is
you
that
go.
What you're thinking? Okay,
yeah.
All right then.
Yeah. The challenge is you don't want to go too thick, because then when I press it, it will break.
Is that...
No, you want it, what I want to... Oh, I'll show you how to do it. So give me two more of those.
All right, two more of those.
Because I'm making for the three of us, right?
I might do three or four, because I'm already... Take that
away. There's the ice. There's my ice. There we go.
I guess Michelin didn't see us shave a lemon.
So now make it very, very dry. So all you want to do is literally, there's three of us, so we'll just do three, the equivalent of three drops. Bam, there you go. Okay. That's all you want. That but you have to have some, though.
Yeah. So you have vermouth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what?
Dry vermouth, which is it's like a...
It's his own being.
It's like a wine. It's like a more fortified kind of wine. Yeah.
All right, let's lead the way.
Yeah, let's take a seat at the table. Can we make some noise for Paul Feig, everybody? Yes, Paul.
Bless you all.
Cheers, Paul.
Cheers to you all. Us. My goodness, thank you for having me.
You spent the pandemic making cocktails, Paul, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did. I started an Instagram show on the day that lockdown for me started, which was, you know, middle of March. Mm-hmm. I'd just come off a production that we had to shut down. And I thought, what can I do to help? Oh, I'll try to entertain people for 100 days in a row without taking a break. And we'll make cocktails and raise money for charity. And so we did.
It's a great idea. It is a proper grown-up drink, but I read a thing about you saying that you were always obsessed with being a grown-up as a kid.
Yeah, I didn't want to be a kid when I was a kid. Like, I didn't like watching shows about other kids. I just would watch things about adults, you know, and watch, like, Bewitched, and he would come home and make a martini at the end of the day. And I had this experience when I was a kid. My parents took me to Las Vegas because they were going to see a Muhammad Ali fight.
Wow.
And that was, this was back in the 60s.
That's
so
amazing.
It was wild. But you walk into the casino, and you couldn't, as a kid, you could only walk around the outside.
Right.
And it was when people were dressed up, and my memory was they were in tuxedos and suits and gowns, and they put me into this nursery that was a glass door that looked out of the casino. And so I'm in there with all these other dumb kids.
Totally.
I was just like, I want to be out there.
Get me out.
So God is my witness, I said, as a kid, when I'm an adult, I'm going to do all the stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
Wow, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that idea of you being sort of obsessed with all these adults in like furs and tuxedos having martinis.
Well, it's a weird thing. Like, you know, guys of my generation also, they're the ones that kind of rebelled against their fathers and the patriarchy and all that. So they're like, I'm going to be a kid forever. And I was just like, forget that. So all the guys I know are like trying to dress like teenagers. Is like, no, I'm a suit and tie guy. So
let's be adults. You look very well in it.
Yeah, I love the dedication to it. Don't you have a cane?
I usually have a walking stick. Yes,
I love a walking stick.
I collect walking sticks.
Do you remember the moment that you were like, I'm going to have a walking stick?
Yeah, I fell in love with them in the when I was in my 20s. I was actually...
In
the 20s. Yeah. I'm very old, Dick. I'm very, very
old. He's 100.
Or extremely young. Exactly. No, I went to James Smith and Sons, which sells the great, you know, umbrellas. Yeah. And they had all these old antique walking sticks. And I was like, oh, I want to do that. So I started buying them, but I go, what age can I start doing it?
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of said, when I turn 50, I can, like, without guilt, carry one around. But I also want to start early because when I eventually need a cane, people go, oh yeah, that's the guy with the walking stick, and they won't realize that I'm actually leaning on
it. But I love that shot because they'll have a whole history about everything you like now.
It's
your height, how you hold your cane. That's fabulous.
Yeah, I like that. Old affectations, I love. If I could wear a top hat every day, I would.
Do you own a top hat?
I do own a top hat.
When are you going to do top hat? Could you do a top hat?
Ascot. Which I'm going to this year. So,
But you could have worn it here as well. We love a dress.
I should have. If I was a rock guitarist, I could do it. I'd be like Slash or something.
Oh my God, Slash is there.
Exactly. People always mistake me for Slash.
Wasn't it? No shirt, top hat. That was a sick look.
That's my new look. Yeah. Tank top.
Do that at Ascot. See how that goes down. Well,
but I'm wearing a top hat. Why are you throwing that out?
Do you ever do like trackies though? Do you do casual at home?
I mean, kind of not. When I walk, and you know, I do a 4 mile walk every morning. Yeah, then I'll wear like, you know, workout clothes.
Yeah.
But around that, if I'm writing and just relaxing around the house, sometimes I'll put on like a flannel shirt and jeans. But I don't want anybody to see me that way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If any pictures exist, they must be destroyed.
Yeah.
We'll burn them.
Thank you so much.
But yeah, I love it. I love the dedication. Like now, I'm getting older, my dad, I always sort of wore the same thing every day. Mm-hmm. And I used to think it was like so boring. Yeah. I was like, why does he just look like dad every day? And now I think it's really chic.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a nice luxury to not waste your time being like, what's trendy? Or like, what should I wear? Like, it's, I think that's really nice to wake up and be like, that's what I'm wearing. Also, it's so confident.
I think
this is what I wear.
I love it. I also do a lot of Savile Row suits, which are just, they're neither in style nor out of style. They're just a suit. Mm-hmm. Mm. But I love that because then I can take the ties and the pocket sets, make it into something fun.
Yeah. You make it you, don't you?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You look fabulous. We're loving pink, though.
Thank you. I like to rock a nice color. So.
I feel like a tramp.
No, you both look wonderful.
Like a tramp here, should we do some food?
I mean, excuse me one moment, Paul.
I
have to go into the kitchen.
Can I help? Can I?
No, you're our guest.
Should
I help?
I'll sit here and drink.
We'll just drink.
Fine, that's fine.
So you've been in London, what, 3 years now?
Yeah, pretty much. I was back in L.A. for the lockdown, but otherwise my last movie I made was Last Christmas, a movie called Last Christmas, and then the new one I'm making, we shot in Belfast, but we've been doing prep and post here, and it comes out in September called The School for Good and Evil on Netflix.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
And you love it, don't you? I mean, I always think that you properly indulge in the British things. Like Andrew and I were saying, like, you do like proper British stuff here, don't you?
Yeah, well, my mom's side of the family is British, so it's in my genes. I'm from Bolton, and that's how my wife and I met 30 plus years ago, is our mutual love of London and of Britain, and it's just never ended. And so, you know, we always wanted to be able to come here and live here, and so now we're actually doing it. So we're here, London. You can't get rid of us.
Right, should we try and eat this?
Can I be the guy that picks it up with his hands?
I'm going to pick it up as well.
I have no problem with picking stuff up.
But also apologies to everyone in the room, because we're just not going to talk for the next 2 to 3 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, is that good? Holy smokes. Wow. Mm. What'd you do with that meat? Tell me all your secrets. Tell me your secrets, Angela.
Slow braise. It's all good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like a bit of the Guinness, actually.
Oh, how long did you cook this?
Oh, it's a good few hours. Good 3 to 4 hours.
I can tell.
It's about 3 hours in total.
Now, I know this is a taco, Angela.
Yeah.
So please don't be flippant. But what are we eating?
I mean, honestly. So we've got braised beef. So you've got like braising steak, really, you know, so the tougher part of the beef that needs longer cooking. But actually, I think you both agree, it's got the more flavour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much as we all love a steak and they're brilliant, this when you slow cook. So slow cook with Guinness, lots of different spices, some herbs for about a couple of hours.
Just a can of Guinness poured in the pan?
Yeah, Guinness. That acts as your stock. Instead of using beef stock or water or something like that, you use Guinness. Then we've got chopped avocado. I've got put some lovely little lettuces through there, some chili, and some pickled red onions, you see. Mm. And so you got that little... I haven't actually put any citrus, because I think you got the pickling from the red onions.
No,
so
I don't think
you
need it.
You don't need it.
But there's a nice kick from those chilies.
Yeah.
It's really good. Really great mix of flavors and also textures.
Texture is important. Yeah, I'm with you, Nick.
Normally, I'm all about putting hot sauce and everything on. Mm. I wouldn't put anything on this.
Yeah, I love everything hot.
No, we discovered that. Well, the first thing I cooked for Nick a few weeks ago, I made a pasta. And I like a bit of chili. Yeah. And I put a bit of chili, and then I put a bit of... I said, I can't eat this.
Are you not a spicy person?
No,
I love it.
I can eat really, really hot. Mm. The only place I've ever met my match in the heat department is in Indian restaurants.
Right, yeah.
Because I go to so many restaurants, and they go, oh, careful, it's really spicy. And you have it's like, this is nothing. So you go there and it's like, do you want it spicy, sir? Yes, very spicy.
Yeah.
They get that look of like, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you're just like, oh my God. Like
and then
misery.
You're literally like dripping, yeah.
I don't know what they use. It's like, it's a whole other level.
Do you think your body likes that or doesn't like that? Because I always think it's like healthy. But then I'm like, I don't know if it's such a physical reaction if my body does like this.
Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be good because it like it makes everything, you know, it sweats everything out or whatever. But then there's what we call fire in the hole.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy.
I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but suddenly, you know, because I did rewatch Bridesmaids last night, and I now have got the image of that final scene with the big sandwich.
That was actually documentary.
That was. That was live.
That was just did you watch on purpose last night, or was it just accidentally on?
No, I watched on purpose last night because I thought I'll have a little reminder and stuff. But it just, I was just literally, I mean, I can't say the word that made me laugh out loud the loudest, but it was, it was genius. It was just genius.
It is so genius. And it is one of those films that, if it is on, I've talked about how much I love it so much on the radio that people tweet me when it's on. Yeah. So I will get loads of tweets and people will be like, ITV2, 10 o'clock. ITV2, and I'll look at my phone and I'll be like, it'll be, I bet it's Bloody Bridesmaids. Because it's one of those films, like, if it's on the telly, I'm like, I'll watch it one more time. I'll watch it for like the 800th time.
Yeah.
But
like, really nice.
Did you know when you made it, it was going to be such a loved film? Like, do you have an idea when you're making a film if it's going to end up good or not?
Well, I always say nobody ever sets out to make a bad movie. So even the worst movie ever made, well, I mean, unless you're John Waters or someone. Yeah.
Shout out to The Rock.
I think, you know, every movie you're on, people are like, oh, this is going to be great. And they were talking about, like, oh, we're going to win awards. And then, you know, even if it's horrendous, you know. But I knew we were getting really good stuff when we were doing it. And we were just laughing every day and having so much fun.
Great cast.
I mean, they're amazing. Yeah. But always, my mantra on a set is always like, okay, let's see if it adds up. Because I've had so many shoots where you're like, every day is great. And then you put the first cut together and you're like, oh, there's a problem here.
Yeah.
So you just never know. But, you know, we do a million test screenings, you know, where you know, you show it to an audience, we record their laughs, go, that joke didn't work, trade that out. And we did that like 9 or 10 times over the course of months. And then you kind of know it's going to work with most audiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It felt really real as well. Like, I hate in a film when I can sense the acting.
I'm with you.
Do you know what I mean? When it's God, you're so acting.
Yeah.
And I have to turn it off. And I felt there was so much of it just felt conversational and believable. And even like the ludicrous things that happen, even like the plane scene or like everyone getting crazy diarrhea, like crazy things, but I still thought it felt really believable.
Yeah, well, that's why we do a lot of, I don't say improv, like a lot of my detractors go, oh, they just make stuff up. We don't make stuff up. You know, we clearly have a great script and everything, but it's just sort of each take, like, we'll throw a surprise at each other to just kind of make sure that we're not just so rehearsed. I don't rehearse also. I don't do rehearsals. Yeah. I literally go like, okay, the camera's going to be here. Let's just go.
Yeah.
And so you'll get amazing stuff. And also I shoot, you know, what they do called cross-shooting. So I shoot both people at the same time who are in a scene.
Yeah.
So then they can surprise each other and it's happening in real time. So that's why it doesn't feel rehearsed and over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I really love it. I actually got a bridesmaid's tattoo.
What?
And I only remembered that now. And even...
Do you have it?
Is it a place where I can...
Do I have it? It's a tattoo.
Is it a place where we can see it?
Yeah, I'll show you. But all yesterday when I was like reading about Paul, we've been chatting about Paul, we've been chatting about Bridesmaids, I just remembered it now.
You're about to blow my mind, I gotta say. Okay.
Because it was me and my friend Amy, we were obsessed with a line, which is not even that funny, and you might not even remember it, because I met Kristen Wiig and told her, and she was like, I don't know that scene. And I was like, well, you're in it. And she's like, yeah, but I don't like
Were you watching Father of the Bride, maybe? Yeah.
And it was a really simple scene and it killed us. And me and Amy still to this day praise this line. And so I had to get it tattooed on my body, which was at the engagement party when Kristen Wiig goes and everyone's sort of got a partner.
Yeah.
And a man... quite an ugly man, goes up to Kristen Wiig and says, do you want to go for a walk later?
That's my friend Steve Bannis, by the way.
Oh, sorry, Steve. In Hollywood, I mean.
That's his bread and butter. That's his bread and butter.
That's his thing.
He's a good extra. He's a good extra. We like it.
That's my father, Nick.
Yeah. Steve's outside. And she says, I can't. And there's no reason. And it just killed me because she just says, I can't.
I can't, but thank you.
Like, I can't. So I got I can't tattooed on my arm.
Oh my God, look at it. There it is.
I can't.
I like it. Without an apostrophe.
Yeah, without the apostrophe.
I think that's
Wow. I can't.
I'm floored.
Yeah, I forgot about that because it's behind me. Yeah, I forget I have it. I forget. But
I'm glad to know you don't have mirrors in your shower.
Exactly. Yeah, I forgot. I always forget about it. But it's one of the things you get asked to do. Exactly. Things like, do you want to come see my boyfriend's new band?
See,
I can't.
Thank God they got the...
Like... I can't.
Thank God they got the A right.
That's yeah, all true. Say. Yeah,
you don't want to be.
But you know what I mean? Certain things you're like that walk didn't warrant a response. Yeah. Certain things yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Do you want to come and see my friend's play? Yeah. I can't. But you know what? When I'm in the when I go spin class once, a woman behind me was like, "That's very demotivating to see I can't for 45 minutes."
Have you just pushed her off a bike then? Yeah.
You're trying to motivate her.
Yeah. She's like, "Yeah, I can."
I'll show him.
Yeah, I can. And but that movie was such a success and so loved. Do you always get people being like, "You're gonna do a sequel?"
Oh yeah, they always ask.
Are you gonna do a sequel?
No. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, that would be up to Kristen, really. Yeah. You know, because she's the one that wrote the original one. And but I also don't think the world needs another Bridesmaids, if I may be so honest. Because the reason that movie works, all the funny stuff is in it, but it's because this woman goes through this major crisis and comes out good on the other side. So if you do a sequel, she's not gonna go through another crisis. Yeah. So then if you just have like a crazy wedding, it could be funny, but I just don't think it's gonna have that weight that makes it, you know.
Also, I love sometimes when something good's just left.
Yeah. How many times has the movie gotten ruined by like a crappy sequel?
So many times. Totally. So many times. When you've done a comedy like that, do you, as a director, be like, right, done a good comedy, done that, does it make you want to go and do something like really different?
Well, I like to do different genres. Mm-hmm. I always want to do comedy or have comedic elements to what I'm doing, but I never want to repeat myself. So yeah, the idea of doing a sequel, you know, there's a couple of movies that I've made that I wouldn't mind doing a sequel to, but in general, you want to keep moving forward.
Paul, I see you've demolished
I demolished that. That was the greatest thing I've ever had. No, well, I've eaten all over the world, another my friend, one? And this is one of my favorites, and yes, perfect. Another one, please. I will say, this is the best taco I've had on this side of the pond.
Wow, whoa, thank Angela. You.
Hands
oh my
down.
God.
Hands down.
And is it actually quite easy to make, this recipe?
It is quite easy to make, actually. Mm. It is. I'm up in your chili content, you two.
Yes.
Yeah, well, if I can have a recipe, because I actually do know how to cook.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not a bad cook, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. I do love Mexican because you're having like all those different flavors together. Oh. And I feel like once you've had a lot of Mexican, like I don't really like any other food after.
Yeah.
Because you're getting like spicy, sweet, the meat.
Yeah, no, totally. The only thing that can kind of, you know, compete with that is Indian food.
Yeah.
Because you get, I just like anything that's just alive with flavor.
Yeah, agree.
Like life's too short for the bland food.
So out of all your cocktails, mezcal, have you got a good...
I like mezcal, yeah.
Do you got a good cocktail for that?
Yeah, I do actually. Because I like really smoky gin. Right. Okay. Really smoky, whiskey, peaty whiskey.
Nice.
Like Laphroaig is my favorite.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yes, too medicinal for me. I'm going to give you that plate.
Oh, cheers. Thank you.
Nick, excuse my fingers.
Oh, yeah, stick that in there. Thank you, Angela.
But no, mezcal, it can be really good. It's good for almost like a Mexican, Negroni or Manhattan. You can do kind of that kind of thing.
What do you say? Thanksgiving? Do you deep fry a turkey or do you roast a turkey?
No, I just roast
it. Deep fry.
I've seen too many videos of houses getting burned down by people.
Wait, what are you putting the turkey in? That's
big
enough.
A big vat of
like a
boiling. Go on the internet, on YouTube and put in, boiling, frying turkey mishaps. And you will see people literally burn their house down while they do it.
Stop.
No, literally,
deep
you would
fried
be, you see
turkey.
That like a cabinet there? That would be full of fried oil. But it's basically like a deep fried Kentucky Fried Chicken turkey.
It's delicious. It sounds terrible, but it's great. It cooks it in its own juices.
Yeah, but you could die. And, and all burn, your family. Yeah, and burn the house down.
Yeah.
And there's more people in hospital on Thanksgiving than there are in any, obviously burns.
The ones who are have the most delicious
they
meal
the
ever.
She's one in a thousand. So you, as well as having Kick Me, your book, also have a cocktail book.
Yes.
But Kick Me was sort of like a coming of age story, like stories from your adolescence.
Yeah.
How was it sitting and writing that and looking back on your life? Because I've just had to do that.
Well, it was fun. The genesis of that was basically... I saved up my money to buy a typewriter because I used to love the Selectric typewriters, the IBM ones. And so got this typewriter and was like, I got to write something. So I was like, I'll just write funny stories from my school years because that's what I would tell those stories and people thought they were, would laugh at them. So I wrote a bunch of them up and I remember saying to my dad, like, he goes, oh, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm writing this. I'm going to write a book about when I was in school. And he goes, like, who cares about you when you were in school? And I was like, yeah, you're right. So I just put those chapters away. And then a few years later, when I created Freaks and Geeks, this show called Freaks and Geeks, I was like, oh, let me pull those out. And I used a lot of those stories in that show. And so then when that show went away, I was like, maybe I'll just now that people know me from mm-hmm. that show, I'll write all these stories from my you know childhood. Yeah. And so that's what I did, and that's how I wrote the show, wrote
and
the book.
I love your dad saying that. Like, who cares about that?
Oh no, totally.
Were your mom and dad always like that?
My mom was total stage mom. She would like, I want to dance. Okay, I'm suddenly in a million dance classes. I want to play guitar. I got a guitar. My father is always like, oh, for God's sakes. That was, if my dad had one catchphrase, it was, oh, for God's sakes. Because like, my mom would take me to like, she took me to buy my first three-piece suit when I was 9 years old.
Love your mom. I love that.
The greatest. So much.
And I came home and I was like, look, Dad. And he's like, oh, for God's sakes. He's gonna grow out of it in 3 months. And I did, but oh, what a 3 months it was.
But that's a great mix, isn't it?
Like, I looked like a ventriloquist dummy, basically, back then. So.
I don't know. I think people outside of telly and outside of film are maybe like, what's the director do?
So oh, like, no. Nobody knows what we do. I directed, you know, 6 seasons of The American Office, mm. you know, not all of them, but you know, 20 episodes in total. And people go like, oh, you direct The Office. Have you ever met Steve Carell? It's like, yeah, I think I met him because I...
They did not say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally. Because they, I think God. They think a direct... I don't know what they think yeah. we do, but we basically make every decision that you see.
So. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I thought, The Office was great here, but I loved the fact it went on.
Yeah.
You know, I liked all the... I mean, I literally bawled my eyes out. When they got together and then Jim played that DVD or she played the DVD. I mean, that was, you know, it was genius. It really was.
It was a great show to work on. They had those amazing writers and those actors were so great. That was really, but you know, I love the British one too. So, you know, I'm involved. I produce a show called Welcome to Flatch, which is the American version of This Country.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that was really fun. It's really, but I've been involved in several British shows that they try to bring to the US, some very successfully and others very unsuccessfully. It's all about taking what's great about the British thing. The great thing about Brits is you guys really like to take down pompous characters, and Americans really want to root for those characters. Yeah. So we had to, like, the first 6 episodes they did before I got there, they were trying to play Steve Carell's character much like Ricky's character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he was playing very mean, and American audience was like, we don't want it.
Yeah.
So we was like, okay, let's make him well-intentioned. He can still be a boor, but mm-hmm. he means well. And so then it kind of caught on.
You're very forgiving as Americans. You're like, you know, doesn't matter what you've done, come on, let's
go. We're a teenage country. I mean, if you think about us compared to everybody else. Everybody else has been through so much, we're kind of like, we can still do it. But I kind of like about America that
But
at the same time, sometimes I think we're too forgiving.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, that person,
get him out of there.
And where's the comedy from? I mean, was that something always as a kid? You know,
yeah.
I mean, as a young adult, when you were wearing your suits at 8 years old, were you doing skits or what was going on?
Yeah, I had two parents who loved comedy. My dad was a wordsmith; he could tell a joke, like a raconteur. He could tell a long joke. You know, when somebody tells a long joke, you're like, oh my God, please let this end. He's one of these guys, you're like, you're just sitting forward the whole time. He could string you along. And then my mom, like, really goofy comedy. She has, like, funny sounds and funny dances and physical comedy. So I kind of got the best of both worlds from them. So I have a real appreciation of high and low, I like to say.
Yeah.
And did you know, like, when you were young and around that comedy in the house, were you like, I could do this as a job. I want to...
Well, I had this pivotal moment in my life when I was about 5, where I got made the lead elf in this production of this Christmas play we were doing in kindergarten. And what happened was they said, everyone has to dress like an elf, so parents get an elf costume for your kids. So my father owned an army surplus store. So he's like, oh, I gotta get an elf costume. So he takes me in, he finds these like army socks, these like, you know, olive drab green socks, and like these two big foam pieces. So he puts them in the front so that my feet are like 2 feet long and they curl up at the end, and like army underwear and like this hat, and he put a cotton ball on top of it. You know, so I've got this ridiculous outfit. So we show up to, I show up to the play, everyone is dressed like they were dressed by like Edith Head from Hollywood. Like the most professional elf costume. So I walk out in this costume and the audience goes crazy. They're not laughing with me. They're laughing at me, clearly. But all I hear is like, listen to that.
And
they
so love me.
It was like heroin. I was just like, for the rest of my life, I just want to, you know, I want to get that. And so so that it never went away.
That was it. That elf costume. That was it.
Exactly. Thanks to Dad and the shitty elf costume.
Did you have to do school plays or anything?
I was Mary in the old Nativity, you know, at one stage. And I remember playing, West Side Story, because I went to a girls' convent school. You had to play. I had a deeper voice. I was...
Maria.
No, what are you on about? The
Were you action?
She fell in love with. Tony, I was Tony.
Oh, you were Tony?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
School.
Oh, right. Oh.
Please tell me there's tapes.
Amazing. I never did one. All we did was Nativity.
You never did a play. Don't be
never
ridiculous.
Did a play. My life became a play. No, we only did a Nativity, and I was like generic shepherd.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I never
That's
had like a line
dull.
Or anything.
Oh, you
yeah,
like a
pretty
sheep
rubbish.
Or
yeah.
Like,
oh, I just remember I had a tea towel on my head and like a rag.
You showed them.
Yeah, it's not very good. It's not very good.
Talking about tea towels, I love the sound of Ringo Starr's drums on the Beatles albums. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the Peter Jackson documentary? I was like, how does his drum sound so good? I watched that thing. He's got a tea towel on his snare drum. I was like, how, after all my years
all of
trying to find equipment that make it sound like that, it's a tea towel.
So maybe I'll put a tea towel over my mouth and it'll sound interesting. Do I sound better?
You sound great now.
I do sound a bit better. Paul Feig, everybody.
Thank you.
That was so fun.
Such good fun.
We can't all have a Michelin star chef in the kitchen, but you can ask Angela for some advice. Email your questions or dilemmas to dish@waitrose.co.uk. All of the dishes and drinks covered on this show can be found on the Waitrose website at waitrose.com/dishrecipes.
Subscribe to Dish from Waitrose wherever you listen to your podcast so you don't miss an episode.
And make sure you leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts because we're very needy. And it helps people find the show too.